In the Old Testament, God is always seen as a real downer, especially with all of his laws and regulations. But what we fail to realize is in the midst of those laws, as we'll see today, there was real celebration, real joy. It was designed to bring about delight.
He wanted celebrations and feasting to go on in Israel. Joyful feasting. That's really important to say as we look at this. He wanted them to feast and enjoy and reflect upon and be thankful for all that he had done for them and all that he had accomplished. How they could be thankful. These were opportunities to express thanksgiving, to teach their children, to help them through the great story that he was telling them of the whole Bible.
This is Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon. Hi, welcome to the program. Join us, won't you? We are in Exodus chapter 23, verses 10 through 19, Sabbaths and Shadows.
I invite you to turn in the Bible tonight to the second book of the Bible, Exodus chapter 23, as we consider together verses 10 through 19. You'll notice a bit of a transition tonight as we look at a Sabbath and three festivals that the Lord commanded Israel. And so we're going to consider tonight verses 10 through 19. This is the word of the Lord. For 6 years you shall sow your land and gather in its yield. But the seventh year you shall let it rest and lie fallow, that the poor of your people may eat, and what they leave the beasts of the field may eat. You shall do likewise with your vineyard and with your olive orchard. 6 days you shall do no work, but on the seventh day you shall rest, that your ox and your donkey may have rest, and the son of your servant woman and the alien may be refreshed. Pay attention to all that I have said to you, and make no mention of the names of other gods, nor let it be heard on your lips. 3 times in the year you shall keep a feast to me. You shall keep the feast of unleavened bread, as I commanded you. You shall eat unleavened bread for 7 days at the appointed time in the month of Abib. For in it you came out of Egypt. None shall appear before me empty-handed. You shall keep the feast of harvest, of the first fruits of your labor, of what you sow in the field. You shall keep the feast of ingathering at the end of the year, when you gather in from the field the fruit of your labor. 3 times in the year shall all your males appear before the Lord God. You shall not offer the blood of my sacrifice with anything leavened, or let the fat of my feast remain until the morning. The best of the first fruits of your ground you shall bring into the house of the Lord your God. You shall not boil a young goat in its mother's milk. May the Lord bless tonight the hearing of his word. Well, the basic point tonight as we consider this particular section in Exodus is really a fairly simple point that the Lord was making and helping them through. If you were to summarize his great desire in giving this set of laws and instructions for Israel, it had the great purpose that Israel was to always remember how they were saved and what the Lord had done for them, and to never forget it. And he wanted them, and he made that happen. He gave opportunities for that to happen through certain remembrances that in the fullness of time, Jesus Christ would come and fulfill and accomplish. He wanted the faith passed on from generation to generation. He knew that there were many there who would die and those who would not remember or see the Exodus. This was his way of preserving the faith in Israel. This was his way of keeping the next generation in Israel. They could practice. And I love to emphasize this because often the Lord gets attacked in the Old Testament as just throwing down a bunch of rules with no joy. He wanted celebrations and feasting to go on in Israel. Joyful feasting. That's really important to say as we look at this. He wanted them to feast and enjoy and reflect upon and be thankful for all that he had done for them and all that he had accomplished. How they could be thankful. These were opportunities to express thanksgiving, to teach their children, to help them through the great story that he was telling them of the whole Bible, which you'll see tonight is right here. So after all of these civil laws, the Lord put things in place to teach them his grace and his gospel. He wanted them to honor the Sabbath and certain feasts that they would never forget, That's the perspective tonight. You remember this was a great problem. You remember that The Lord said, when you have eaten and are full, then you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land which he has given you. Beware that you do not forget the Lord your God. Well, what a problem happened in Israel when that surely did take place. They forgot. So by the time of Josiah's reforms, none of these feasts were being practiced. None of the celebrations that God intended for their good were being practiced. Josiah had to read the book of the covenant again and restore these feasts for Israel. There was always that danger of forgetting. There was always that danger of not remembering everything that the Lord had done for them. And all of the abundance that they would receive from his hand, all of the blessings that they would enjoy, all their nice homes and all their homes full and their paneled walls and all the, everything that they had built for themselves, the Lord knew that it would be a great danger for their attitudes and their hearts to forget him. And particularly in the areas that we're considering tonight with the Sabbath rule principle here and the feasts that he had put in place, he didn't want their work to enslave them. That was a really important point. He didn't want their work to enslave them, to be so consumed with their work that they forgot him and forgot what this life is all about and why they're here and what they represent. And while we constantly learn about our need for Christ in this, I think sometimes these civil laws are preached, and it's common to say, well, when we come to the civil laws, well, sinners really can't do these things, and Jesus fulfilled it all for us, which is absolutely true. But we kind of get the impression that God was leveling upon Israel civil laws that they didn't have to take very seriously. That as if these were meant to do harm to them. And we miss something if we constantly do that in these civil laws to what it's revealing about God himself. Think about what these civil laws, as we kind of sum all this up so far in the study of Exodus, what they've said about God, what they've shown us about God. I have seen the maker of heaven and earth. I have seen him deeply care about his people being protected from negligence and terrible injury that results from negligence of neighbors. Sounds like a very caring God to me, doesn't it? I have seen him deeply care about that, wanting to protect people's property from negligence and abuse. I have seen him care about the poor and the widows all through this. The poor over and over and over. The strangers. The slaves. The pregnant women. Those little babies in the womb, there were even laws concerning them. I have seen him concerned about these sort of people and the people who are the down and outs in society. I was really moved when I came to that point where he was concerned about a poor man. It shouldn't be extorted, because if you have to do a trade and you take his coat, you better give it back before night, because he might go to bed cold. The laws are demonstrating something about God, aren't they? The laws are telling us something about his goodness. And of course, they're also saying that when we reject his will and his way, we bring and heap the misery on our own head. But this is not a tyrant. The gods of the nations were tyrants and figments of their imagination. And they would come up with the worst sort of tyrants in their imaginations. They would throw themselves into the fire at these other false gods. They would throw their children into the fire. Every ruler of men, you'll notice, of man, if you look throughout history, has the propensity to rule with force and with cruelty, not Israel's God. Even when he gave laws to show and demonstrate the problem of sin, his goal was, do you not know that the goodness of God leads you to repentance? His goal was repentance. His goal was to lead them to the Savior. Well, with that said, tonight, we have the Lord providing Sabbath laws and pilgrim feasts with the specific goal of teaching people the gospel and teaching people mercy. It's really a beautiful thing. I hope this is helping you with the Old Testament some. That what is the first thing he does here is that he implements in verse 10 a Sabbath year. Let's look at the first thing that he does here in this particular section with the Sabbath. For 6 years you shall sow your land and gather in its yield. But the seventh year you shall let it rest and lie fallow, that the poor of your people may eat. What they leave, the beasts of the field may eat. You shall do likewise with your vineyard and with your olive orchard. What an amazing section to study that essentially the Lord was putting a regulation on greed. He was putting a halt on greed in society, but he wanted to give the land a kind of time to replenish itself with the goal that the poor would be cared for. The poor could come in the seventh year, the Sabbath year, and they could eat. You'll notice that there in the seventh year, that the poor may eat. They could come in and they could eat freely in the vineyards. They could eat freely in the land. They were open territory in the seventh year. I mean, you know how tightly farmers hold on to their lands. You know the problem. Think about what the Lord is doing here. He was concerned about the poor. And the Lord saw this even good as healthy for the beasts of the field. You'll see the principle that which the Christ would pick up on in the Gospels, that the Lord feeds the birds of the air. He provides for all the beasts and the cattle. He provides for them, his creation. It's his creation. It's his work of his hand. He cares for it. And I think that's important to say. While I'm not an environmentalist in any kind of way, that we see the craziness and madness of what's happening in our own society, that we neglect. And I just saw again, California is going to dump I don't know how much more water in the ocean to save the Delta smelt. I mean, it's just astonishing that we're going to dump. And you can read about it. They just made the decision again. That is not what I'm saying, but you do see the desire here for the Lord to not see his creation abused with greed, but to be used as a blessing to man in the nation of Israel. Greed not only attacks the creation, it undermines the giver of every good and perfect gift. And this was a crucial one of the reasons that the Lord would then institute and implement a Sabbath year to teach them something about this principle. What do I mean by that? Well, in this first section, you'll notice that it becomes an opportunity to teach them that Sabbath, there's a goal that Sabbath has for the poor and the needy to be helped. I think it's a very important point tonight as we look at this. The lands in this Sabbath year would be untrimmed, unguarded, unpruned, and there would be no tilling of the soil, and the excess of food would spread out across the land. Just to make a note, I found it fascinating. And you see God's wisdom here because of greed. Did you know in the USA, 30 to 40% of the food supply is wasted? In the nation with all this food, we have way more poor here than ever should be, equaling more than 20 pounds of food per person per month. That's a known and going stat. Notice what the Lord had done. He had filled the land this way. He would keep things going this way. You remember what would later happen in Israel. That one of the great problems in Israel that would later happen is greed had so overtaken them that it were not honored, that the poor were utterly pushed out of the land. You remember this terrible indictment in Isaiah when he says, "The Lord will enter into judgment with the elders of his people and his princes, for you've eaten up the vineyard. The plunder of the poor is in your houses. What do you mean by crushing my people and grinding the faces of the poor? Woe to those who join house to house and add field to field till there's no place where they may dwell alone in the land." Translate, the rich bought up everything and the poor were pushed out. And it was unchecked, unrestrained. This was God's way, and he used Sabbath to demonstrate the check on it, to put the check on it, the principle. The problem had been that later they would become so consumed with materialism and making money that they trampled the very observance which was intended to put a restraint and refocus people on why they exist, why they work, and what the goal is. The goal is not work. The goal is rest. Let's think about what was being taught initially here. In the Sabbath principle, the Sabbath was a check to consumerism. Think about today. You know, I still remember, and I realize that we should look at the church when we look at this, but I still remember too, and think about how this has affected society. I mean, there still were blue laws at one time when people didn't work on Sunday, right? I think that's what they were called. And in Linden, I remember going there, everything was closed, and by the time I left, everything was open. And you think about this and what greed does to a society. You see the Lord's wisdom here. This was spiritual, of course. Notice what he says. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, and on the seventh day you shall rest. Now listen, that your ox and your donkey may rest, and the son of your female servant and your stranger, and you'll notice this here in the second part, the alien may be refreshed. That doesn't sound like a burden to me, does it? This doesn't sound like a burden. I want people refreshed. Work and slaves. I want them refreshed. I want a reminder. It was a reminder that the Lord cared for them and that he didn't want people enslaved to that kind of life. The goal in life was to come to rest. There was to be a rest they would enter into. There is a rest that is held out for the people of God. Becoming enslaved to work is a denial of the very gospel that leads us to rest. I want you to step away from it. I want to give you time to reflect upon me and my work, a time to glorify me, a time to be fed with the bread from heaven. I want you always to rest and remember, and this was the purpose of it, Sabbath, he'll say this later, that I redeemed you from Egypt, that I brought you out of there from Egypt, that I've loved you, that I've delivered you, that I've plundered all of your enemies, and I want it to be an opportunity for you to help the poor, to encourage them, to provide for them. Notice that he says, and in all that I've said to you, be circumspect to make no mention of the name of other gods, nor let it be heard from your mouth. I want you to delight in me, says the Lord. I want you to remember who this is about. You have the incessant danger of idolatry in your lives, and I'm putting this in place. See how wonderful the Sabbath was when we look at it this way? There's so much more to say. There's so much more, and ways to apply and to show this, but the weekly, even in the weekly observance of the Sabbath, when the Lord put that in place, there was always to be a remembrance, and this was the Lord's concern, that there would be refreshment in the community, that there would be renewal in the community, that there would be help given in the community, that the gospel would be preached to the poor, as Jesus was always concerned about doing. And of course, we also think about poor in spirit. That is the first thing that he puts in place to train them and to teach them about the rest and mercy and gospel that they had come to know and to understand. Rooted, of course, ultimately in the fourth commandment. But then notice here that he rehearses three feasts that he wanted them to continually to observe in Israel that celebrated his mercy. Three times a year, verse 14. You'll notice it says there. Three times in the year you shall keep a feast to me. You shall keep the feast of unleavened bread, as I commanded you. You shall eat unleavened bread for 7 days at the appointed time in the month of Abib, for in it you came out of Egypt. None shall appear before me empty-handed. Shall keep the feast of harvest of the first fruits of your labor and what you sow in the field. Shall keep the feast of ingathering at the end of the year when you gather in from the field the fruit of your labor. Three times in a year shall your males appear before the Lord. Notice here, three feasts he wanted highlighted and celebrated in Israel for their benefit and their good. The first was the feast of unleavened bread. Remember that one? That the Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread went together back in Exodus, that when they celebrated the Passover, that lamb was given and that the blood was put on the doorpost, and that night the Lord passed over. That night when they left Egypt, they also, you'll remember, then they would eat the unleavened bread, but the leaven that night had to all be removed from their homes. And anyone who ate leavened bread would be cut off. What did all of that mean? Remember what Exodus 12 said. So you shall observe the Feast of Unleavened Bread, for on this same day I have brought your armies out of the land of Egypt. Therefore you shall observe this day throughout your generations as an everlasting ordinance. You would eat the Passover, and remember he had them standing up, the belt would be around their waist, sandals would be on their feet, their staff would be in hand, they would celebrate the Feast of Unleavened Bread, ready to go. The Passover pointing to the need for the blood of the perfect lamb who would substitute, the bitter herbs reminding them of the former bondage, the Feast of Unleavened Bread for 7 days following to celebrate that God brought them out and they were to come out once and forever, not to go back. They were done with it. They were not to go back to Egypt. And he expected that the old life was done. Remember, we looked at all of that. This was a liberation feast. This was a feast celebrating their freedom. I want you to celebrate that. I want you to stop all your busyness, and I want you to celebrate this feast, to always remember your separation from Egypt. You know what the New Testament says in fulfillment of this? Therefore, purge out the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, since you are truly unleavened. For indeed Christ our Passover was sacrificed for us. Therefore let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, nor with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. You're brand new. You're out from the old way of life. You've been brought into a new life. I mean, this is Romans 6. I want you celebrating this. I want you thinking about this. I want you remembering this in your homes. I want you remembering this as a community.
And so we're seeing here in Exodus chapter 23 that our Heavenly Father desires us to rejoice and relish in His goodness towards us. And He's given us opportunities in these feasts. And as we've gotten a quick glimpse, the feast to come. You're listening to Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon, who will return in just a moment with a look ahead to our next broadcast. Questions, comments about the program, as always, are more than welcome. We'd love to hear from you. How's the program encouraging you in your walk and relationship with Christ? Reach out to us. Let us know, won't you? Our number is 888-504-8805. Or you can visit us online, agradio.org. Now, that is a great resource to have handy. Not only do we have past programs available online at our website, we also have jumping off points to Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, as well as recent articles written by Pastor Chris and other friends of the ministry. Again, agradio.org. We also would like to remind you that you're a very key part of this ministry, Abounding Grace Radio. Through your financial partnership with us and prayerful support, we are able to continue this ministry, not only on this station, but others as well. So would you please consider partnering with us financially, whether it's a one-time gift, a monthly gift, no gift is too small or too large. Reach out to us again at agradio.org or call us at 888-504-8805. As promised now, once again, here's Pastor Chris to look forward to our next broadcast.
The Lord's saying, look what I've done for you in Christ. All of your work and all of your work and all of your busyness of life as you're about ready to go out. And this kind of ties to this morning, doesn't it, at this point? Our running around and we're so busy. If you ever get to the point, and I said at the dinner table this afternoon, one thing I should have said this morning, and I do this all the time. And I said, if you're ever feeling overwhelmed, if you're getting at that point of overwhelmed, think about the importance of what the Lord called you to today, to prayer. He doesn't want that for you. He wants you to go through this life, and He wants you to trust Him, and He wants you to lean on Him and rest upon Him, and He's given you His Son to always be strengthened in these promises.
That is tomorrow here on Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon. Please join us then as we continue our examination of Exodus 23, Sabbaths and Shadows. Tomorrow, we'll see you then on Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon.
Abounding Grace is brought to you on this radio station by Abounding Grace Radio Ministries.
Hi, I'm Chris Gordon, the host of Abounding Grace Radio. I'm also the pastor of the Escondido United Reformed Church. If you are local to Southern California and live near the Escondido area, we would love to see you at one of our worship services on Sunday.
That's right, Chris, we would. And our worship services, because of the heat and earlier darkness, begin 9:30 for the morning service and 3 p.m. for the evening service. And both are held under the tent at Calvin Christian. Well, here's Pastor Chris once again. If you'd like to know more, with information on how to reach out to us,
you can find us on the web at www.escondidourc.org. Escondidourc.org. The Escondido United Reformed Church, a place where the Bible is sincerely believed and faithfully taught.